here tonight. How y'all feel? God is good, and he's doing great things. And I just asked the young man, I forgot his name already. You know, the title of my message today is like, it's Stand. And you know, when I walked in and all weekend, that word has just been on the inside of me. And I know we all come in church, especially even in a night service, and you're just desperate, just like I am, for Jesus. And you're desperate that maybe exactly what you're going through will be named or picked out, and you can get over it. But we've got all of these things that are pressures in our life that just come on us like a flood. And sometimes they get so overwhelming, you wonder if you're going to make it to the next day or to the next moment. But you learn how to put on that I will make it face, you know. The one that's as fake as, you know, you can be. But it doesn't matter. We're so used to putting it on and saying the right things and doing the right things. But really deep down, sometimes we're a step away from quitting, giving up, caving in. And you just need to stand. And I just felt like the refrain of this song is something that needs to be invested in your spirit before we hear the word tonight. And I know that they probably don't all know it, so just hear the words of what the Lord prophetically is trying to say to you. Say, brother, just say that. Don't even bother him because he got that word. I just felt like you needed to hear these words tonight. Crazy. And sometimes you get caught between the tears and prayer. And you pray and cry and pray and cry. You cry and pray. You pray and cry. And after you're done all you can. Oh, after you've done all you can, well, you just stand. Even if your money's gone, you just stand. Even if you're all alone, 'cause after you've done all you can, God wants you to know. You just stand, give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that as we get into the word tonight, that you would give us a revelation that does not come from man, does not come from my mind, does not come from my mindset. God, but it exclusively comes from you. God, your will be done, your kingdom come in this place tonight. And I pray, God, that you would break up the fallow ground of the heart and cause a word to be planted on the inside, God, that cannot be uprooted for any reason or cause. God, I pray that the scheme of the enemy that is against the people in this room or the people of this city and the families and friends that they love, I pray, God, that it be lifted and there be a respite from that scene which seems to stalk them, chase them, and beat them down. I pray, God, that they would have the supernatural ability to feel the wind of the Spirit that causes them to stand up strong and tough in this hour. I pray, God, that your miraculous working power that comes through the Spirit and the hand of the Spirit being upon us would be upon this group. I pray, God, that we would have expectations that you are a God that can be petitioned and that you come through on the petitions that we give. I thank you, Lord, that we'll know that we don't speak to you in vain. But when we speak to you, God, you speak back to us and you give us words that bring light and life. So, God, now think through this mind and speak through this mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer, and every happy heart say amen. Today, as I reflect upon what I need to say in the fourth sermon in the AD series, it causes me to think about the things in my own life and that in the disciples' life that was going wrong as they had to follow those instructions just to simply stand. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life when the calamities just come one after another. I don't know if you've ever seen that, you know, where your car break down at the same time you got, you know, a demotion, or at the same time your girlfriend broke up with you. And it's all just a string of things that happen that make you want to just stay at home and sit and just look at the wall, not even TV, just at the wall, just look at the wall. I don't know if you've ever been broken to that point, but I found myself in that point. And it's so funny that no matter how much God has done in my life from time to time and from point A to point B, and no matter how much he may be blessing me in that day, there's a string of things that can happen that can just knock me off. And I don't want it to happen. I don't want it to knock me off. But the fact of the matter is that it does. And you kind of wonder is where is the help, and do you ever graduate out of this season or this time where you can be doing good one moment and knock down the next? And it's not always some highly negative calamity that comes your way. Sometimes it's a string of little nagging, little irritating, little bug-like things that you've got to squash. And it causes us to be something that I believe that is really hurting us. It causes us to be silent. And we've learned how to suffer in silence and suffer in darkness and suffer and have all of these friends and family members around us. And they think that everything is going fine, but we're in a dark, 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 dark place and a hole. And we're so close to the edge that we want to jump off, but there's something inside of us, God, that won't let us jump off, but we want to. I'm coming to that place today and I'm telling you to stand, but I'm going to give you ways to stand and how to stand and what's the indication that you're going to stand and what's the indication that you're going to make it through. The other thing that prevents us from standing is purposeless living. You can go through the cycle of doing so many things so long. You can do them good or bad or whatever you may have. But the problem is that some things you do, even if you've done them over a long string of time, doesn't mean that they fulfill you. Doesn't mean that they touch the essence of you that says my life has meaning and purpose. In fact, everything in society tells you that if you're not number one, or if you're not the champion, if you didn't get the A++++, if you didn't get the full ride scholarship, there's something in you is a less than. If you didn't go to college, oh my God, you know, you didn't go. Oh, you better start. You know, it's just like everywhere you look around the corner, something is trying to beat you down and defeat you. And maybe you're under that illusion that you're stronger than you are. And then there's just something that everybody has to face to realize that maybe you're not as strong as you thought you were. I remember I came to this moment as an 11th grader in high school where, you know, you've won so many battles and here's the first one that you're going to lose. You don't know you're going to lose, and you don't know that you got this little broken, wimpy nature on the inside of you because you projected something else to yourself and other people. And it was a girl. She had just moved to our school. Her name was Erica. She was what I would call at the time fine. Erica was her name, at least to me. And Erica, and for some reason though, I had no girlfriends. Like, and I just thought, like, cause she's a new girl in school and she don't know yet that I'm not like the guy that you talk to. Yeah, you know how you could just slide in. I slid right in. She didn't know that I don't have a girlfriend. Never had one. And that, you know, I'm just trying to, hey. And I was able to say things about myself that that word really lies, but then you can say a lie long enough that you believe it. Yeah, I was right there in that lie I believed about myself. And riding the city bus home with one another, kids were throwing paper on the bus, and somebody hit this man in the front. And he came to the back, and like, who threw that paper? And, you know, I kind of stood up because I didn't throw it, and he grabbed me by my throat. And I didn't do nothing but say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I sat down next to her saying nothing. He kind of fussed at her, too. I didn't stand up for her. I didn't stand up for myself. I sat down, gagging. And when I got off the bus, everybody asked me, why didn't you stand up? Because if you would have stood, then all of us would have come to your rescue. I don't believe they would have. He was big. He was a big man. We was all going down. He was strong. He was grown. We were kids. The disciples had situations where they had the illusion of victory many times because Jesus was in them providing. Jesus was with them alive, providing them with so many victories. And if you hang around the right person long enough, you can ride on their coattails. And just because of the family you come from or the core relationships that you have, you can begin to think that you're more favored or successful or smart or bright than you are. And really never come to the conclusion that you've got to make some serious decisions. And the moment that type of covering or that type of those friendships, relationships, or clientele become distant from you, the real cracks in your life begin to come out. And this is what happened to the disciples when their Lord and Savior was killed. Their best friend was killed. Imagine how you would feel. If someone, don't make it a story right now. Make it so personal. Make Jesus' death to them a very personal thing. He was loved by some, hated by others, but this was your dude that you left your house and your business for. This was your guy. And 3 years of living together every day and doing everything together, and he gone? After you believed in him? And believe that you guys were going to rule together and do something great together. And all of a sudden, with him gone, all your cracks are exposed. And even when I don't know if you've been watching the AD series, you can just go online and you can download it. It's free. It's really interesting. Jesus is dead. He's come back. And he's risen from the dead. And Peter is sitting in a room with the other disciples, and they asked him the question, where were you when he was being crucified? And the shame hit him because he had denied Jesus and ran away. This is his very best friend. And so they said, Peter, how do you feel? He said, I just wish he was here right now so I could say I'm sorry. And right then the movie has Jesus touch Peter's shoulder and say, I'm here. It's so amazing that in the midst of his greatest crack, the Savior was very near to him. When he felt like he had nothing left to give and do, that the power to even stand was available to him. Jesus tells them to go back to Jerusalem, he'll meet him in Galilee, and then he fully restores Peter. Then he tells them, I want you to go back, and here's where we're going to begin to pick up our story in Acts 3 and 4. He tells them, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I know I've taken you to a comfortable place, back to home, back to business, back to family, back to a place where there's peace and tranquility, and you also have me. And I've left this city in unrest. I left all of these people confused. You got the zealots who are so mad at what's going on. They're ready to kill everybody. The Romans that have got a heightened sense of the fact that, you know, people think that Jesus was raised from dead. Some people think his body was stolen. And Caiaphas and the high priest and all these people are just the Sadducees and Pharisees. They just all are mad. Everything is tense. And it's the time of the feast coming up. And this is the hot spot in the world, in human history. And Jesus says, go wait for me. there. Leave everything that is comfortable in your life and go stand in the place where somebody is waiting to kill you, hurt you, harm you. Because if you say the wrong words and you're identified with me, the very thing that they wanted to do to me, the very thing they did to me, they will do to you. Go back to that place and wait for this undisclosed period of time for me to give you something that you don't understand, that you don't know what it looks like, you don't know what it feels like, and you don't even know what you should expect. Just go wait for it. Instead of being cowardly like they were when the Savior was being crucified and running, they run into the fire. And they find themselves in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come and they were all in one place on one accord, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and the Spirit filled the place where they were sitting, and there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as in a fire, and they were all filled, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Something, you know, it's amazing to me that they weren't taught about spiritual gifts. They weren't taught about the Holy Spirit very much. They didn't know what was going to happen. But the Bible says they were there worshiping and praying all the time. And they got in a certain type of unison where something that couldn't happen with you individually began to just happen corporately. It accelerated the process because they were all together in one place on one accord. That's why the enemy works in disunity or division. Division, two visions, divorce. He's constantly got to keep people at odds with one another and thinking bad about each other and belittling each other, because you get together under God and you stay united like this, there is something that happens where heaven begins to invade earth and the Spirit begins to move, because he's given a place to move, because he does not force himself upon anybody, but all those who are willing, all those who are hungry and thirsty, they become filled. And the experience begins to happen. They leave there, they preach. And in the moment, in the hottest place on the planet in human history, where violence was at a high, you could be crucified for saying boo. They went out in broad daylight after that experience and began to preach to everybody that Jesus was Lord and Savior. And if you're baptized and repent, he'll give you the same gift that he's given to us. And this, check this out, you New Yorkers, in the greatest city on the planet, in the most diverse city on the planet, the most desirous place on the planet. Get this, 3,000 people from one group of 120 unified believers saw 3,000 people get saved in seconds. And everything in our mind tells us that society is winning, that the values that we have are antiquated, they are lost, and they are gone by the way of the wayside. And for you to stand up for anything that seems that is right or that is just or that is fair or that is godly makes you an anomaly and makes you a weirdo, and it makes you somebody that just doesn't understand that we should be able to sin without guilt. In fact, do you know that in our very nation, there used to be laws that existed all the way up to the 1930s against blasphemy? You weren't even allowed to take the name of the Lord in vain. And specifically, Jesus Christ was named and the Holy Spirit. And if you did, you can be imprisoned or you could be fined. But somehow, because of our Constitution, and that was considered unconstitutional, it was stricken from many of the books. A few it still sits on. It seems as if society is trying to eliminate the Son of God, Jesus, Lord and Christ, just like they were in the very beginning of the church in its genesis, trying to eliminate him. And it seems like God himself is trying to go silently into the night as if he doesn't have an answer for what happens on late night television and late night television and all that other stuff that's going on. It's like he doesn't have a little answer for it. And I'm here to proclaim to you through this message in the brief moments that I have that he does have an answer, and he's decided to make you and I full of his Spirit the answer. And the reason sometimes we can't stand and the reason that we can't function is because we won't live in purpose. None of my life is my own. The Bible says your life is not your own, for it has been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. And every day I do what I want to do and what I dream and what I think. I'm not pleasing God. I'm not even helping myself, because I am stealing myself from God. He has first rights of me, and he has first rights of you. And until my mind is completely surrendered to him, like Peter, who had to leave his family, leave his business and leave everything and go back to the hottest spot on the planet. And he had to stand there and wait for something that he didn't even have. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon him, fills him. He preaches to people, 3,000 get saved. And then the next day in Acts chapter 3, somebody standing there by the gate of beautiful, lame, Peter and John came upon him and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give unto thee. Take up your bed and walk." They grabbed him by the hand. Strength came to his knees and his ankles, and he got up. A credible miracle, divine, happened. It is not just getting the holy tingles when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, the tingles of the God. I feel the, oh, don't you, reach out like me and touch the pure mysticism. The Holy Spirit, the ghost, who you know, it's amazing to me how something designed to be powerful and it even has intellectual property is been demonized, marginalized, and over-spiritualized and made to be hokey and hocus-pocus. But I've gone through countless places, countless altars, and seeing cancer healed, documented. People raised from the dead, documented. Sorry if that bothers you, that happens in life. People's back healed, spines healed, minds healed, mental illness healed, brokenness. I've seen it all through the power of God, just like healing that cripple. But it's something about us leaving all the holy equipment that God given us to speak and say something to this generation just by the wayside, as if you have enough strength on your own to do something and you don't. But New York is waiting on you. Why are you in this place? There's a lot of churches you can be in. There's a lot of places that won't even challenge you. But you're not here to sit idly by and just have your ears tickled and just get a good talking to. You're here to be challenged to be the very best God man, God woman that you can be, full of God's Spirit, ready to see somebody born again and their life change. You're here to save your city, not run from your city. So here's how Acts 4 picks it up. They are arrested. For a man being healed, they are arrested. They are imprisoned. It seems like that moment that you decide to do the right thing from God, how many have found the pattern to be that you stepped out on faith to do the right thing from God, and all of a sudden, instead of things going right, they start going wrong. God, all I did was serve you, and you're going to let me get thrown in jail? This is what I get, Jesus. But I'm going to show you a secret today through this story of how powerful a moment in history you stand in. You're standing on the most powerful moments of history. Because somehow, when you look at the Bible, you think they had the greatest moment and don't understand that you've got the greatest moment. The baton has been passed to us in our generation, and what are we going to do with it? Well, the Bible is written to show us the pattern of human behavior and how we can overcome it if we learn from their example. So three words I want you to know as I go through this text quickly. That standing for God is going to cause you to have to say something. You're going to have to open your mouth and not just let the devil make off with everything that's of value in this world.
Well, you know, he's already got the TV and the internet. Maybe we'll hold on the radio.
Who told you? His kingdom can come down in a second by people who understand their power. Then you're going to have to understand that you are the establishers of the standard. You make the standard. That's why when righteous people do wicked things, it erodes the confidence that people can have in God. That's why the only way that I can validate being able to preach to you is because I keep myself constantly, not under just the hand of God, but under the hand of man. See, this is the part that we don't like. The Bible says that you have to learn to do what's right in the eyes of God and man. So my life is not my own. My life is an open book. Everybody in this room is invited to ask me any question at any time about my life. That's how it rolls. You want to know if you're safe? That's as safe as you can get. I'll have to lie to you consistently. And the Bible says the eyes are the window of the soul. Just call me the liar if you find fault. But I'm going to tell you, the generation won't be raised to its proper level until the Bible. I said, thank you, Holy Ghost. I said it like that. Sorry, I didn't mean that to make you nervous. Okay. He says, when wickedness rules, a righteous man is hiding. Verse 7, Acts 4. I'm going to have to say something. Ready? Read. So here it is. Here it is that they turned the tables. Oh, no, you're going to, you got me arrested. You've got me detained. And now you're going to ask me and put me in front of a tribunal about the things I did that were good in healing a crippled person. So imagine a half circle tribunal of Sadducees. These are people who are religious leaders. There were 71 in the council in all, and they were just sitting around, and they were going to judge these two men that don't believe in the resurrection from the dead at all, whether it was Jesus or anybody. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe. They were there to keep the status quo of the Roman occupation. They were there just to keep the peace, and they were the leaders and the controllers of the people, and they didn't want Jesus. That's why they crucified him, to lead the people out of their control, and they don't want these two guys to do things that can lead them people out of their control. So they asked them a question. What do you believe about, basically, imagine if it said like this, about resurrection? What you believe? And I love what they did. See, the Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous are as bold as lion. They said, let me let you know something. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When you say somebody's whole name, first, middle, and last, you serious. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the man's name that we use to heal. I don't want you mistaken. If you're going to arrest me, if you're going to take me down, if it's going to be confusing, let's just use the right name. Read. You didn't like him. Read. And you might not like him, but if you want to be saved, delivered, or healed, and this is what this word means, then you're going to have to come to Jesus, because there is no salvation in anybody else. And it's not meant to be offensive when you say it's not in Muhammad, it's not in Allah, it's not in Buddha. It's not meant to be offensive. It's just meant to be true. You can't find salvation in nobody else but Jesus. Everybody else talks about their teachings and their prophecies. This is about who Jesus was and what Jesus did. Fully God, fully man, without sin, death, burial, resurrection, making an exchange, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus did all of this with me, and you ain't going to get saved without him. And I can't hold this message back from you any longer, because if I do, you're going to be eternally separated from him. But if I tell you the message and I tell you the truth, then it lasts as a judgment against you for all times. People don't want you to use the name. They go on in the text just for time to talk about, yeah, we don't want to, we can't discredit the miracle. It's what they say. And so we just going to tell you, just go on about your business. If a miracle happened, that's cool. Just don't say it was in his name. Don't say it in his name. Because Jesus' name was used, 5,000 additional people at the beginning of this chapter had gotten saved. So now we had 8, and this thing just started. In the worst possible environment, and now you done took the two leaders and thrown them into prison, and they talking like this. And the Bible says when they saw this boldness, go to the, you just got to see this verse. That just would be fun for you. 13. When is the last time that somebody saw what you do and say, oh, they've been with Jesus? When is the last time somebody saw how you spoke? They were uneducated. They had no formal education. They should not have been able to speak to this ruling educated class at this level, but they could because they were full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, when you're attacked in this way, don't even worry about what you need to say, because the Holy Spirit in the self-same hour will give you exactly what to say. The Bible says when you're full of the Spirit, he'll lead you and guide you into all truths. When you have the Spirit of truth is there to settle all lies. They didn't have anything to say once they spoke. They didn't understand their destiny. They thought they might be in prison forever. They thought they might be executed. But look how they talking. Well, Pastor James, you know, this is all good message for back then, you know, because they was desert people. But, you know, I got a real job. I can't be saying none of my job like that. They told me they'll fire me. I ain't trying to get you fired, but who you work for? And if that job should leave, who you going to call on? And by the way, why did you think God allowed you to be at the job in the first place? And what are you so afraid to risk? I was asked by a very prominent company in the city in Nashville to do a major training. I'm a fundraiser by trade and strategic planner. And I was going to do this big teaching people to raise money and do fundraising and different things like this. And they said, good. And I said, well, before the event, because of the venue that we're in, can I pray? They said, fine, because they just wanted me to do the event. About a day before the event, they realized what they said. And they said, oh, you know, just one little thing. We want you to pray, but you can pray. But just, you know, just so nobody's offended, why don't you just, like, pray in the name of everybody's God? And then, they said, pray in the name of everybody's God, and then nobody has to be offended. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me, what happens to most people. I don't know how, but I kind of got caught up in, I think I said okay. You know how you can say okay before you really mean okay, and then you realize, man, what did I say okay to? You know, and an hour before I'm telling them, I can't do that. And they said, well, you got to do it. I said, well, I'm not doing the training. Also, people flew in. You're going to do the training. They said, we're not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. We're just telling you do what you got to do. So you know what I did? Father God, in the name of Jesus, right now, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. You've been good to us as people. Hallelujah. And you know, people start doing, they don't even know God. They start waving their head. Yes! Hallelujah! People will jump into whatever you will lead them into because you're anointed to be a leader. You're anointed to be great. You're anointed to have the word of God so deep on the inside of you that when it come out, people say, yes, I like it. All right, y'all get me off. If you're going to stand for God, you're going to have to use your Holy Ghost filled mouth to speak to a wicked and perverse generation and not condemn them, but to bring them into eternal life. Okay, point two. I got to hurry. Verse 23, stand. I'm going to end with this point. Just two points tonight. Stand. Ready? Read. Now wait, when they were released, so they let them jokers go. When the Bible says, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. You're a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden. You're a light that is not designed to be under a bushel or covered up, but to be in a prominent place on a lampstand where others can be guided. And I know the reason that we don't stand in this generation, because we will be marginalized and ostracized. And whenever you talk about spiritual things with unspiritual people, you somehow become this unorthodox, mystical, kind of magical weirdo. And because we don't want to be the weird person, we eliminate from our lives the things that are supernatural in nature. And we're always getting around to giving people the very thing that they need, the answer, the good news, and the power that comes along with it. How many people do you know in your life right now with situations that are health issues that all you've got to do is say, you know what, can I give permission to pray for you in the power of the name of Jesus? And I'm telling you, God's going to heal you. But no, a spirit of fear comes on you and say, I don't want to say that, because if I say that and they don't get healed, then they're going to think I'm crazy, and I don't want them to think I'm crazy. So I'm just not going to say nothing. But, you know, I do wish them well.
Can I have 5 additional minutes, because my time is up? Okay, I'll try to wrap up in 5 minutes.
They got with their group of friends. Where's your group of friends? How long will you stay alone, be alone, and be isolated? He that is left alone will meet destruction. You will. Immediately when they're released, they got with a small group.
You know, our church does life groups that I don't. Our church does connect groups, but I don't. I just come to the big stuff. I don't need that part of the church.
Well, my most important meetings this week for me were my small groups, where men, powerful men of God, were able to evaluate my life. Search me. You can't search yourself. The Bible says a man's way is just in his own eye. It takes his neighbor to help him figure it out. You're always going to be fine to you. I'm all right. How you doing? I'm fine. Fine, 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 fine. Praise God. Broken as you want to be. No, 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 no. You need them investigative questions. Where you been? What you been doing? What you been watching? How you been living? Where you been going? Why can't you account for yourself? They got in their small group. Look, keep reading now.
I told y'all just 5 minutes. Y'all going to ask me. I'm going to have to ask for more.
Stop. In order to say consistently the right thing, you're going to have to stand after you bow. They prayed. In order to get filled with the Holy Spirit, they went to a place and worshiped and prayed as a group. Then they dispensed their gift. People got saved. People got healed. They got back into their small group. And the activity of their small group was to bow their knee and pray so that they can stand boldly again and say something. This is a formula of the first church that ever existed. This is the formula. They bowed their knee and prayed. They beseeched God. And what was the result? Read. When you honor the pattern, that type of unity, that type of camaraderie, That type of submission to God and his will makes the initial experience available in abundance over and over again. They were filled all over again. And the ability to say something to this wicked and perverse generation in boldness came upon them. Beloved, it could be the missing element and an ingredient in your life that's causing you to stay broken is a lack of submission to God's process. God's process will always lead you to places of worship, to experience him, to be filled by him, to get his glory, to go out and encounter the world, to get back in your small group, just to bow your knee and do it all over again. You've got to say something. You have to bow your knee so you can stand and say it again. And now you understand what the standard is. This is the standard operating procedure. And failure to operate this way leaves you in a dismal place. A place where you know who you are one day and you don't know who you are the next. A moment where you're so excited about your job, for all the things that God can do through you and for you. And now all of a sudden you don't even know why you're at that job. People of God, you are the strongest people on the planet. It's not because of your own wisdom or your own grace, but when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you've got all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I come here tonight to tell you to array yourself, to be filled with God's Spirit afresh as many times as possible. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Spirit continuously. Why? Because it's going to give you the power to say something. What if you knew that you were a step away from reaching your mayor, reaching your governor, reaching your councilman, reaching the key influencers of your city? You're one person away with the right word of boldness, being clothed with the right word of boldness that changes you. I prayed to meet our governor. I did. And I said, I'm praying for you. I'm watching you, watching over you. I just send him messages. Who's bold enough to send their God? I just send the governor messages, not weird messages. I saw in a dream a hawk came and then it grabbed a rat and the rat, you know, no. Don't do that. Just say simple stuff like praying for you. You know, is there anything I can do to serve you? That's like basic. Keep it real basic. Church, what am I crying out to see happen? Because I feel the anointing of God that removes burdens and destroys yokes and gives you the power to stand. And if you notice, this day started with your pains, but none of the message was about them. See, your pain is swallowed up in fulfilling God's purpose. And sometimes we want ministry to our specific area instead of the overarching thing that gets you out of having areas. Him. Surrender to him afresh. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Listen to me deeply and intently. Oh, I love you. God's not here to hurt you. Don't look around. Lock in with Jesus. Realize that it's been him delivering the message to you in a personal way. I'm going to have two appeals tonight. No one need to overly look anywhere but inward. If you and Jesus Christ don't have a relationship at all, or somehow you feel and you know, and I'm away from God. Maybe tonight you thought you were with him, but after hearing the message, you know you're away from him. You didn't want to be, but you just found yourself running back to Galilee instead of into the fight in Jerusalem. If you're here tonight and you need me to just pray for you because you and the Lord don't have the right relationship, whatever that means for you, when I count three, raise your hand and put it down. One, two, three. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to pray for you first, and then I'm going to have one more prayer, and I'll end. Say, everyone repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
reestablish your relationship with me. I believe you lived the life of a sinless man. I believe you died a guiltless, I believe you died for me. And God raised you from the dead. And the same power you gave to Jesus is the same power you're extending to me now. Power to live right, talk right, be right. Jesus, I reestablish you as Lord of my life. Finally, guys. No, I'm sorry. Finally, here's another prayer. Being filled with the Spirit is not emotional. Being filled with the Spirit is not a weird exercise. It's not about how high you raise your hands. It's not about how loudly you can speak in some prayer language. It's about God meeting you at the point of your spiritual hunger. And when you have established him as Lord, the Bible says there's a gift available to you that's beyond salvation. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when the first century church received this gift, they began to speak in another tongue. But in this Acts 4, we see them getting filled again, and they just spoke the word boldly. Today, I don't want you to emphasize in your brain some type of experience, but by faith, we're going to ask God to just fill us. And for 1 minute, you're just going to request from God and receive a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. So everybody, whether you want to raise your hands or sit there, say, Lord Jesus, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I need you. Fill me with the precious Holy Ghost that I might be a witness for you. And just let the Lord refresh you and fill you. Just bless him for 1 minute. Lord, I pray as we drink in more understanding of you, more revelation of you, that we would walk as these new believers. We would walk securely and firmly, full of your Spirit. We wouldn't over-spiritualize everything. We would let it be proven that we're filled by the strength of our witness and by the fruit of changed lives. Let it be named among us all day long. So, God, I'm asking that you would bless us as we leave. That as we leave, that we can feel your hand heavy upon us. That you could touch us in a unique way, in a consistent way. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.